I was ready to get up and shout that one. That was a blessing to sing. Just over in the glory land. That's going to be what it's like. We're going to sing. We're going to shout. We're going to praise the Lord and sing hallelujah forever and ever. It will never, ever end. So now's the time to get started and get ready by singing for the Lord. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, I failed to mention the back of the bulletin is a picture of Blake and Amy. That was from their reception, and that was on Friday in Hillsboro, their reception. Also, I want to mention we have our missionary of the month is Heidi Van Dyke in the Dominican Republic. So let's pray for Heidi. We don't have a recent letter from her. But pray for her. She ministers to the people of Dominican Republic, faithfully serving the Lord for many years now in the Dominican Republic. So, okay, we are in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, let's read on. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Pleasing God by a life of faith. I guess if there were a title to the message this morning, that would be it. Pleasing God by a life of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. Thank you for a time of anticipating the reading and preaching and observing and following and obeying your word. And thank you for this time of praise and joy, and I pray, Lord, you'll bless our time now as we open your word together. We thank you for this time, and may you work in each of our hearts. If there be anyone here who isn't saved, they've never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day that they trust Christ. Thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, Heidi, thank you for that beautiful offertory. Love it. Thank you so much. Pleasing God by a life of faith. Now, by way of review, in chapter 10, verse 23, we already looked at this, but let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Let's consider one another, provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And then chapter 10, verse 35, chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For a little while he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Don't cast away your confidence. You and I do not have to cast away our confidence. We can be confident. We believe. We follow. We believe to the saving of the soul. And so, jump over to chapter 12, verse 1. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience, run with perseverance. And so in between chapter 10 and chapter 12, we have chapter 11 where God gives us examples of men and women of faith to encourage us. Men and women like Abel, and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. None of them were perfect. They were far from it, but they pressed on and they lived a life, a pleasing life, pleasing God by faith. That's what they did. Okay, faith living, pleasing God by a life of faith. Number one, the description of faith. We're going to look at three things: description of faith, examples of faith, and the reward of faith. But first of all, the description of faith, what it is, what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith gives substance to what we hope for. Faith makes it real. It's not just wishful thinking, fanciful thinking. When Noah entered into the ark, he never wondered. He never looked up and wondered if he's going to be made a fool. He said, let's go. Let's get your life jackets on. It's going to rain, and we need to get ready. And they didn't even know what rain was. But faith gave substance to what they hoped for. God called Peter and Andrew, and when they knew, they followed him. Faith follows. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is an act of obedience. Faith is something we do. Faith takes God and his word, and then we live our lives accordingly. Faith enables us to see the invisible, like Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings 6:17. Elisha's servant saw the mountains filled with horses and chariots, though you couldn't see them with the naked eye. But faith believed. Faith is not a feeling. It's not a hunch. Faith is what we bank on. We bank on the sure promises of God. Faith sees the king in his beauty. Faith waits for that blessed hope. Faith anticipates the resurrection. Faith knows that we will be glorified. That's what faith does. Abel lived a life of faith. Abel shows us the way of faith. Last week we looked at pleasing God by a life of faith. And here we come to Abel. There's only two ways to go. Only two ways to go, either forward or backwards. If you're alive, and most of you are this morning, and if you're alive, you can't stand still. You either go forward or backward. You either sink or swim. You either love or hate. You're either for or against. You either hit or miss. You're either up or down, right? Which are you? Which are you? Believe. You either believe or you don't believe. Do you believe? Do you follow? Do you obey? The divine necessity of faith. God says again in verse 1 of chapter 11, now faith is the substance of what we hope for. In other words, faith gives substance to what we hope for. Faith makes it real. Faith makes what we hope for real. It's not just a, well, I hope so. I hope I'm saved. No, it's a no-so. Faith gives substance to what we believe. Faith says, I have. Noah says, let's get on board. His faith gave substance to what he hoped for. Get your life jackets on. We're going. J. Oswald Sanders said, faith enables a believer to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Faith enables you and me to treat the future as if it were now, as if it were present, and the invisible as though we see it, as seen. Faith follows. Faith will take a man or a woman to a place he's never been before, to a people he's never heard of, to win a lost soul to heaven with nothing but the promise of God, one person said. Faith. Faith just believing. Faith just taking God in his word. You knew that? You read the Bible? Do you believe it? Do you act upon it? Believe God. Faith. Faith lays hold of Christ. He saves. Jesus saves. His blood cleanses. And faith latches onto that and says, I know I'm saved because I believe in the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He died for me. And there's nothing that I can do, no merit, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. G. Campbell Morgan said, life is to be mastered by faith and not by doubt. Life, your life, is to be mastered by faith, not by doubt. And yet, how often we live our lives in doubt. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I can do it. I need to find my hole and crawl back into that hole again. I don't want to face reality. No, faith says go. Go and be what God's called you to be. A life is to be mastered by faith and not by doubt. It's to be evermore illuminated by hope and not darkened by despair. Illuminated by hope, not darkened by despair. How's your faith? Faith is not a feeling. It's not a hunch. It's not optimism. But it's confidence in the promises of God. It's just, I believe God. I believe his word. Faith sees the king in his beauty. Faith waits for the blessed hope. Faith anticipates the resurrection. Faith knows we will be glorified. Faith believes the world were framed by the word of God. Description of faith. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. And number two, Roman numeral 1 was a description of faith. Roman numeral 2 is examples of faith. Examples of faith. We're going to look at, there are three examples of faith right here in verses 4 and 5. We have Abel. There's Abel, Enoch, and Noah. They were what they call antediluvians. Ante meaning before, A-N-T-E, diluvians, before the flood. They lived before the flood or during the flood or they lived through the flood. We find Abel shows us a way of faith. Enoch gives us an example of the walk of faith. And Noah shows us the witness of faith. Abel, the way of faith. There's no record of anything that Abel said, but a powerful record of what he did. We see the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, so if you turn there, Genesis chapter 4, way back there. I have a hard time turning Genesis 4, because I go to my cover of my Bible, and it's just a mess, and finally I find chapter 4. Genesis 4, verse 1. Genesis 4, 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, he was angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If ye do well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. a fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So Adam and Eve had two sons. Cain went into agriculture. Abel took up shepherding or animal husbandry. And when the time came to worship, each brought an offering appropriate to his profession. Abel took from his flock. Cain took from the field. But for some reason, God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's. And the key, I believe, is that Abel came in faith. He came in faith and trust with a heart of obedience. In other words, simply bringing his blood sacrifice wasn't enough. He had to bring it in faith and obedience. And Cain didn't come that way. I believe God would have maybe accepted his offering, but he didn't come in faith. And Cain became angry. And God warned him, if you do well, you shall be accepted. In other words, do right. But in his rage, he murdered Abel, whose blood cries out to God from the ground. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. A story of two ways, the way of faith, the way of unbelief. You and I are given a choice, one of two ways, the way of faith or the way of unbelief. It represents man's approach to religion and to God. There was a way of Cain, the way of unbelief, the way of self-righteousness. His was a man-made religion. A lot of people are caught up in a man-made religion. Even this very hour, they're religious, but they're lost. Jude 11 warns us, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. But my way of contrast is a way of Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Again, Hebrews 11:4. So the two ways of faith and unbelief. Abel's way is a way of faith that endures. And in Abel, we see three things. We see a true worshiper by faith, a righteous testimony of faith, and a clear witness to faith. But we're going to go one at a time. First of all, in Abel, we see a true worshiper by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He's a true worshiper. He showed his true worship by his obedience. That's why it was a more excellent sacrifice. Because Abel obeyed the word of God. And so God had respect unto Abel and his offering. By faith he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You see, he did it by faith. And to do something by faith, you must do it in response to a word from God. Faith is always a response to divine revelation. It's simply, I'm going to obey. God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And so the sinner says, well, okay, I'll believe in him then. God says, okay, then you'll not perish. You'll have eternal life. The faith is response. When you got saved, when I got saved, it was simply responding to the word of God. Word of God told me, if I believe, I'll be saved. Okay, I'll believe. That's what I was told. Terry, if you believe, you'll be saved. I believed, I got saved, and then later I was told, oh, by the way, you're going to go to heaven now. And as I've shared before, I am? I didn't know that. But I knew I needed to believe. I needed God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Bible, the word of the Lord. Well, God had evidently given instructions to Cain and Abel, indicating that only animal sacrifices were acceptable. Now, some say, well, Cain's would have been acceptable if he brought it by faith. I'm not sure which. I tend to believe both. But maybe a blood sacrifice was required. And even though Cain was in agriculture, but it was likely learned through their parents, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. And they made coats of skin because they'd sacrificed an animal. They'd made a bloody sacrifice. And so blood must have been shed. The earliest believers came by the blood of others. Noah in Genesis 8:20, Abraham in Genesis 15:1-11. And Cain and Abel both would clearly have known the need for a blood sacrifice. And Abel's worship was the only true worship because it was an obedience to the word of God. Your worship and my worship is only true, only acceptable when it's an obedience to the word of God. You see, Cain came his own way, the way of Cain. He brought his nice, fresh garden produce, his grains and vegetables, and maybe Cain thought, well, what I'm giving is far more beautiful than that bloody animal. Look at these lovely grain offerings. And I worked harder than Abel at raising my offering, so my way is better. That's what he thought. And so today, men are still going the way of Cain in offering self-righteous deeds, monuments to the pride of man. They offer a man-centered works righteousness, which is a stench in God's nostril. Unacceptable. Beautiful to man, unacceptable to God. He requires blood sacrifice. He requires faith in the blood of his son who shed his blood on the cross. Men talk about faith and worship today, but a disobedient faith is not faith at all. James says faith without works is dead, being alone. And he goes on to say, show me thy faith by thy works. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. Spurgeon said, there is no sin that shall damn the man who believes, and nothing can save the man who will not believe. There is no sin that shall damn a man who believes, and nothing can save the man who will not believe. Do you believe? Do you believe the blood of the lamb which was shed for you? Abel brought what God wanted. That's acceptable worship. And that's all we have to do. Bring to God what he asked for. Faith in his son. Faith in his shed blood. And then do for him what he tells us to do. We heard about that in Sunday school this morning. Jim taught on spiritual gifts. And each of us have a gift or several gifts. All we have to do is do those gifts, is exercise those gifts. If you have the gift of serving, then be serving. Be serving. Shame on you if you have the gift of serving and you're not serving others. You're just pent up at home doing nothing for others, but only thinking of yourself. Others. It's all about Jesus, others, you. Joy, right? We just bring to God what he asks and do for him what he tells us. So we worship God by, first of all, obedience. Secondly, we worship him by our attitude. By implicit obedience, by our heart attitude. And that was the other reason Abel's offering was accepted was his heart attitude. He had the right attitude. When God rejected Cain's offering, it says that Cain was very angry. He was mad, and his countenance fell, Genesis 4:5. And that reveals how shallow his devotion was, because he got mad. He got upset, and he stayed mad. He liked being mad, and he seemed to draw strength. That was the wrong kind of strength. It was a fleshly strength, but he drew fleshly strength from his anger, and that's the way you and I are sometimes. We almost like it when we get angry. Well, mine's a righteous anger, you know. That's what they get for treating me that way. No, 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 no. That's not the right way. But he would rather kill. Cain would rather kill than turn to God's pleadings and repent. And he directed his hatred for God and his brother. He hated God, but he took it out on his brother to the point that he killed him. And this man had come to worship God. How have you come? How have you come this morning to worship God? With what attitude did you come to worship? Reverently? Did you come anticipating meeting with God? Did you come to sing praise? Did you come expecting a blessing, hoping God would work in your heart? Did you come to participate, or did you come to evaluate? Are you going to go away saying, well, that was a pretty good sermon, or that was a so-so sermon, or that was a bum, or, you know, it didn't do much for me, or then you come expecting a blessing? If you come expecting a blessing, you're going to get a blessing somewhere. Maybe not what the preacher said, but maybe in a verse of scripture he read, right? How have you come? With what attitude did you come to worship? Reverently, anticipation of meeting God? Did you come to sing praise? Did you come to participate, or did you come to evaluate? But Abel came with a different attitude. He came, unlike Cain, with a submissive, devoted heart, a loving heart. And he brought also the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. In other words, he brought the best. He brought the best to the worship. That's how you and I, we bring our best. That's why we need to get into bed Saturday night. You don't go to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning and think you're going to be perky and hunky-dory on Sunday morning. You're probably not. Get to bed, right? He brought the first morning. Bring your best. We bring our offering. We say we bring our tithes and offerings. We give the first of our income, the first of what God has blessed us with. And he brought the firstborn, the very best, revealing his heart and devotion. He would honor the Lord with his substance and with the first fruits of his increase. Proverbs 3:9. And God was pleased, because God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver, a hilarious giver is a word. In fact, it is. If I remember right, that word, God loves a cheerful giver, in 2 Corinthians 9:7, is a Greek word, hilarious. Hilarious. I think that's how you actually pronounce it. And we get our English word hilarious from the Greek word hilarious, or hilarion, whatever it says. But above all, God wants devoted hearts in his worshipers. God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 5:29, and I love this verse, it's so convicting. He said, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always. Oh, God says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments. Is there such a heart in you and me? Abel was a true worshiper, displayed in his obedience. Secondly, displayed in his attitude, his heart attitude. He had the right attitude. He had a righteous testimony of faith. Which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, Hebrews 11:4. We're not told how God testified of Abel's gifts or his offering. Jewish tradition has it And that fire came down and burnt up Abel's offering, his offering, consumed it. And there are other records of God's fire coming down and burning up the offering. Leviticus 9, Judges 6, 1 Kings 18, 2 Chronicles 7. The important thing is that God spoke well of his worship, and so he was commended. He was called by God a righteous man. A righteous man, which means a right living man. He was doing right. He was living right. God took notice of it. And he takes notice of you and me. Don't think you're living for the Lord for nothing. For nothing. In fact, Jesus called him righteous Abel in Matthew 23:35. Jesus said, righteous Abel. That's how he labeled him. John spoke of Cain's work as being evil and his brother's righteous in the epistle of 1 John 3:12. Cain's works were evil and Abel's were righteous. Abel has a place in God's word for righteous living, and so he is a righteous testimony of faith. Cain offered fruit of his own hands, but Abel's life of faith produced fruit from God. It was a righteousness of faith. His was a righteousness, not of himself, but of faith. Faith resulted in his good works. Faith and works, they're inseparable. If you have faith, you're going to do good. James 2:17-18. So in Abel we see a true worshiper by faith, a righteous testimony of faith, and thirdly, we see a clear witness to faith, a clear witness to faith. And that's in Hebrews 11:4, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Even though Abel's dead, his life is still speaking, is talking to us. God's telling us about Abel in his word, and so it speaks to us, does it not? God said to Cain in Genesis 4:10, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Abel's righteous blood was crying for revenge. And today, his life of faith is an example to us to follow. His life, his worship, his righteousness is a witness to us that a life of faith is a must. We have to live. We have to live a life of faith. And if we're not, then we're living a life of works. And works are getting us nowhere. Works are not going to get you and me into heaven. Life is to be mastered by faith, not by doubt. Your life and my life is to be mastered by faith, not by doubt. Not by doubt. We don't need to doubt. There's no excuse for our doubt. No excuse. You doubt? You have no excuse. Try to find one. You cannot. You have no excuse for your doubt, for your worry. You worry? You have no excuse for that. There's no need for it. I'm speaking to me, right? We don't have to worry. We don't have to doubt. Fear? No need for fear. I'm to fear God. I'm to stand in awe and reverence of God, but I'm not to be afraid. There's no reason for us to be afraid. It's gone. Instead, it's a life of faith. We're a life of faith. I'm to be mastered by faith, not by doubt. We have no record of Abel's words, and yet he's been speaking for thousands of years about faith. And he is one of those where we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1, seeing your compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, a testimony. We have many men and women before who testified of God's grace in their lives and testified by their faith that we read about in chapter 11. And so because we're surrounded by this testimony, let us lay aside every weight, every burden, and the sin which trips us up. Believe God. You believe God for your soul. I believe God saved me. And yet I don't believe God can take care of my trouble. I don't believe God can provide money for me to pay my bills. I don't believe God can use this sickness, this health problem I have, to glorify Him and to bring about good in my life and in others' lives. Or I don't believe He can heal me. Now, He may heal you. He can heal you. He can heal you of anything. But He doesn't always do that. Because sometimes He doesn't because He has something better for you. Healing would not be as good for you as for you to go through that sickness by His grace and by faith and learning and living for Him, learning of Him, more of Him, and living for Him. So we need to believe Him about our troubles, our trials, our illnesses, our losses, our discouragements, our disappointments. We believe God can and will transform our burdens into blessings. And God can do that, and He loves to do that, if we'll let Him. But I try to get out of my burdens, run away from them, try to finagle my way out of them, and I do this or that, and instead of giving them to the Lord. Here, Lord, the Bible says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Cast our burdens. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In 1 Peter 5, 7, I think, lay hold of Christ. We just need to lay hold of Christ who has lay hold of you. He's got a hold of you. I'm to get a hold of Him, and I let Him fill my life. You go to Walmart and you buy a wallet or a purse. I'm assuming that's where you buy your purses and wallets is at Walmart. I mean, where else would you go? But buying that purse or that wallet never makes you rich, does it? In fact, it makes you about $5 or $10 poorer, or $20 or $50 or $100. And yet it becomes a place for money. You get that wallet, that purse, put your money in and your makeup and all of that. But it becomes a place. Faith in itself can't contribute one penny to salvation. But faith is a purse that holds Christ within itself. Faith is believing in Christ, right? If you're thirsty, a cup by itself isn't much good, but we bring that cup to the water and we draw it out, don't we? By faith, Abel, the way of faith that endures. True worship by faith, righteous testimony of faith, and a clear witness to faith. May God help us. Just believe. That's all we gotta do, believe. It's so simple. We think we got to do more. No. Believe. Yeah, act on that belief. But we make it complicated. God made it simple. That's why we call it the simple plan of salvation and the simple way of faith. Will you believe this morning? Will you trust? Will you follow? Follow me, He said to His disciples. Follow me. Lord, help us truly to be followers of our Savior, of our God. Thank you, Lord, that we can do that. And you made a way. You made the way. You are the way. If we'll just put our eyes on you, Lord, follow you. We pray you'll bless now as we close. Have your way in our hearts and lives. There be anyone who is not sure of salvation or has never believed, never trusted Christ as Savior. May they do so now. Even as I pray, Lord, may that one cry out to you and just say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you died for me I pray, Lord, that we would do that, and then we would follow you by faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.